Mr. Walton, did you make contact with Aaron? Were you taken to another planet, to a mothership? How do they communicate with... Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be?
What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body. Because I am more than physical matter, I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
You do not know all the answers to the questions about reality.
Broadcasting from New York, upstate near the Great Lakes, it's Lighting the Void, and I'm your host, Joe Roop, and we're live on Fringe.fm, KTLK Digital Broadcasting, also syndicate KFSA News Talk, and the show's live and raw. We're back. Hope you guys had a good weekend, and I hope you're enjoying that beautiful, super pink, full moon in Scorpio, as massive as it rose above the hills here in upstate New York. I hope you guys got to witness it. And I hope you're manifesting everything that you desire. Speaking of which, because Scorpio is all about passion and desire. So it's a good moon to do that with. And so I got some really cool news. Dark Waters is here with us. Great news. That's probably the coolest news of the night. But also another really cool thing. If you guys go to lightingthevoid.com and go to events, I was invited to be a guest speaker at Contact at the Cabin and with Grimerica. So for the past 4 years, Grimerica has hosted what has come to be known as Contact at the Cabin, or better known as CAC. And it's a big meetup of guests and fans where they mingle ideas and strategies about controversial topics and ancient fables. And it's over the weekend. And the Brothers of the Serpent have joined a tradition that they've been doing that's been described as life-changing by many people. So I have the pleasure and the privilege and the honor of being a guest speaker at this event. So Contact the Cabin will be there at Pine Top. It'll be in Pine Top, Arizona for 3 days. It'll be about magic and manifestation mixed with breath work and cold training with Brandon Powell, and also author, coach, and comedian Owen Hunt. And then I will be the third speaker talking about magic and manifestation. If you go to lightingthevoid.com and you click on events, you'll be able to, there's a flyer there, and you can click on it and go to the event and sign up. It's limited as well. But I believe if you go to grimerica.ca/contact at the cabin, I have to tell you what that, let me see. I know what that, I had that thing pulled up just a minute ago, just so I can get you the the link so you can go straight to it. Yeah. So if you go to, let me just see, contactthecabin.com, you'll be able to see it on there. It's the third one. It's called Magic on the Mountain with Brandon Powell, Owen Hunt, and Joe Roop. Or you can just go to contactthecabin.com/magic. All right. So you guys go check that out. If you want to support the show, make sure you also go to lightingthevoid.com, sign up for a Patreon, click on the banner, click on the donate banner, or grab something from our shop as well. And the call-in number for tonight when we open the phone lines up is 1-800-588-0335. If you want to join our chat room and talk live with our cool kids, you can go to fringe.fm/chatroom. You can click on the Discord banner right there on the site. All right. So Dark Waters is here with us, man. And it's always a good time when we have him on because he's always got the coolest stories to tell us. But tonight we're going to be talking about his project called Dogman Cams. It's something that he's been talking to me about. We really want to support it here at fringe.fm. And it's a really cool idea. And I think it's going to be revolutionary, actually. And Dark Waters is here with us. If you want to go check out that website, you can go to dogmancams.com. You can also go to his website at iamdarkwaters.com. Fably known as the king of YouTube horror. He has many nicknames, but one of my favorite people on the planet. What's up, brother? It's good to have you back on the show.
What's happening, brother? I'm glad to be back with you and your audience. I hope everyone is doing well.
Yeah, man, we're doing great. We're doing great. It's good to have you. I was worried about you last week, but I figured, you know, something was up, you know, and it was an emergency. So I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad that you're here with us and you can give us a chat.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And that's all been taken care of. The stuff that need to hit the news today. The kids are good, so ain't nothing to worry about, baby. It's all taken care of. It's all good. I'm just excited to be here. When we talk about Dogman Cams, it is a revolutionary project. And for the listening audience, I'm going to get into some scary stories for you guys as well. But the concept and idea behind that project is we know where cryptid activity is. We've heard these theories that people have about, you know, cryptids being able to see infrared light, but there's no real documentation of that activity. There's kind of hypothesis on it where people, you know, who put, let's say, trail cameras in the woods, they're like, oh, it avoided the trail cameras. So what we did was we took live feed Wi-Fi, 4G Wi-Fi cameras and put them in the woods. And they're motion censored, and then the people who are members of the website can connect directly on their phone and view the cameras at will. The only problem we run into is when we get the overzealous new guys who get in and then they want to watch 24/7 and they run the battery out, and then everybody else is like, yo, you know, you got to calm down and let the battery charge, because it's solar powered cameras in the middle of the woods nowhere. Right now we have three of them. We had four. One of them in New Orleans East was knocked over and drug off, and I refused to go out there and try and find it. There's one in Fort Pierce, Florida, where the Dogman video was captured. There's one in Taylor, Mississippi. There's one in right outside of Voodoo Bayou in down here in Louisiana. So it's been going pretty well. Taylor has been the most active camera. We've caught, I believe it was a Bigfoot head. I mean, whatever the hell it was gigantic. We caught photos of, some of the members, not me, but the members have caught photos of this skinny, emaciated dog that looks like it's about on all fours, maybe 6.5 feet, 7 feet from the floor to the head. And then we've had our researchers go back out to the camera locations. We found what our cameras have been turned upside down. They've been shifted. You can see where the actual trails where these creatures were traveling, which we put them right on the trails where they just switched the trails to where they went right outside the range of the camera. So we've been able to verify that they actually know and can see the infrared that comes on the camera. We've had sticks thrown, branches thrown, all that stuff has been recorded. So the project is coming along very, very well. The plan is to expand it to where there's 15 cameras in some of the most active cryptid areas. and we're working on it daily to make it happen.
How do people sign up for this? How do they go about? Are there different tiers and different levels?
Let's just go to dogmancams.com. It's $6 a month, and that's it. And then you can join, and you'll be able to scan. They'll tell you what app to download. You'll scan the QR code, put in the password, and you have access to the cameras. And you can see it immediately. You can turn on sound and listen. You can actually talk into the camera. One camera is deactivated for talking. That's the one in Fort Pierce because it's actually on the backside of somebody's house. And what we didn't want was people like playing, you know, wounded, distressed animal calls, calling in Dog Man to the guy's back door because he's already had it outside his back door. And he's like, I don't want none of that. But outside of that, I mean, it's fully functional and you can listen and see and talk and do whatever you want to do. So it's an innovative project. It needs to expand more and we're working on it and we'll continue to work on it. But it's the challenge with that project is, you know, for example, there's one camera right now that we put in Virginia and this hollow, like the guy who put it out there had to climb down the side of a cliff, climb up the other side of a cliff, climb up a tree, mount it in a tree in Dog Man territory. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, we can't connect to that camera. He can connect to it on his phone, but we can't connect to it. And I just don't have the heart. I know it's active Dog Man territory because his dog was killed. And there's been, you know, game wardens all over the place, but I just don't have the heart to say, bro, you need to go back out there and take that camera down and move it. Cause I know what he went through to put it there. And so that's the challenge with this project is you have to go to places that are very dangerous to, you know, deploy these cameras. And you can't, anybody in their right mind can't ask a person to go out there repetitively to that location and do it. So, we'll be working that out with him. I'm going to have to send somebody up there to go with him to go and mess with the camera because he's literally got to climb down a cliff and then climb back up the other side of a cliff.
Yeah, it sounds like an adventure to me. I'd definitely do it, but I'm a little crazy and I love the woods. So if I get back down south and you need me to run out in the woods and set up a camera, I'll do it. You know I would for you, brother. Like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I know you would. I ain't going out there.
This is the coolest thing ever because this is, I mean, look, everybody gets a chance. We all have experiences. There's tons of stories and stuff like that, but this is a chance for people to be able to witness firsthand or at least have the chance to witness firsthand something that could be life-changing, especially for the people that are really into this stuff, you know, and I would say even the skeptics too. As a skeptic, I would join and watch this stuff because it's like a research project. It's really cool to me, man, because you're doing this in a way where people get to be truth seekers, but they also get to get involved. And I don't know, man, I just think this was a really, really good idea. When you told me about it, I was like, yeah, nobody's doing this. This is going to change the game.
Yeah, it's got to be built out more and developed out more, but it will be. I anticipate by the end of this year, I'll have all the cameras deployed, but it's, The biggest thing is the tech problem. So there's a camera sitting in my house right now on my desk. It won't connect to the mobile network for me to ship it out. And I went back down. We tried to get another SIM card. For whatever reason, this particular camera won't connect. But all that has to be taken care of before it's shipped out. Because once it's out of my hands, it's going. I think this one is supposed to be going to Australia, if I'm not mistaken. And so there's no way I'm going to get to Australia. Then to some aboriginal property on the backside of it to fix the camera. So once it leaves my hands, if it's not working, then, you know, if it doesn't go up and it doesn't work, it's a bust, you know? And so you're talking about a couple of $100 down the drain. I'm not worried about that, but I just want it to work. And so that's the one thing I tell people about this project. You have to understand that we're doing something no one has done ever. And, you know, there's been people who put trail cameras out, and they go retrieve the SIM cards, but these are live cameras where you can connect to them. So the tech is the biggest issue. Then once you get past the tech, the issue is the animals that are in the area. For example, Taylor, when that camera was first deployed in Taylor, for the first 4 days, the alarm went off like every 10 minutes. It's just beeping. Beep, 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 beep. It got so bad I had to just turn it off on my phone because it was just beeping. And at first you think, okay, well, it's leaves falling, it's this, it's that. And then you realize, no, there's no way that it's capturing leaves over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And it was happening at certain times. It was happening at about sundown. As soon as the sun was going down, you were getting it. Then about between 11 and 2 in the morning, it was just going crazy. I mean, it was going crazy. Then one of the members actually watched the camera as it rotated. And remember, it's 5 miles out in the woods. I mean, it actually rotated like someone was turning it one way and turning it the other. And then it was left kind of sideways. And I had to send the guy back out there to straighten it back up. So it's definitely, there's definitely activity. What we've learned so far is that these creatures can see the infrared, that they're smart enough to do things like throw sticks at the camera to keep activating it to run the battery out. And then what we discovered that was very significant was that they knew that when the battery was running out, they can go back on their trail and in that area. And all the evidence we captured has always been when the battery was extremely low. Now, how they know that, I don't know. But they know to run the battery down and go about their business. But majority of the evidence we capture has been when the battery is less than 10%. Or when the battery is dead and it's just charging, it's just had a good sunny day, and it's charged up to maybe 10%, and then it kicks on, and then you got all kind of activity. You got sounds, you got whooping, you got noises, you got growling, and then as it stays on, it's like they start to stray away from it and go around it. But I mean, it's crazy, man.
Well, not to mention, too, it's like, you know, it's called dogman cams, but there's a good chance you could catch some any other type of paranormal activity in these hot spots. Seems like, and I could be wrong about this, because you gotta keep me up on this, man. Like, it seems like there's a lot of paranormal spots like this, or cryptid spots in the South. Does it seem like the South is a big deal for all this stuff? It's because I've heard Florida, I've heard Virginia, I've heard, you know, Louisiana, even Arkansas, right? But I don't hear too much stuff up north, but I could be wrong. I could totally be wrong. You want to get this all over, though, don't you? As many places as you can.
I want to get it all over, but the southeastern part of the United States is crazy when it comes to cryptids. And not just cryptids. We caught with what's called in Mississippi the Hank, which is this light that just illuminates in the woods. And I mean, literally we had that on camera for like a whole night. It was just a light that was just off in the distance, and it moved closer and it moved closer. Then it got right up on the camera and it went to the right of the camera. Then it just went back off in the distance, and it wasn't a person. It was just a light. And the guy who put it out there, when we saw it on camera, I said, Hey, go out your back door and go to the wood line and tell me if you see the light. And he's like, well, I'm at the wood line. And he's like, I'm on the back porch and I can see the light way off in the woods. And it's just a bright white light. And I was like, well, what's that? He's like, that's the Hank. That's the light that they tell you don't follow in the woods because you never come back. And it came to check on the camera. So we're definitely catching the activity.
The Hank.
Fort Pierce has been a little bit of a bust. I thought we would get more activity there. But we, for a while, we were getting eye shine, like huge, huge eye shine. I'm talking about, this was 75 yards away. But the eyes were so big, people was like, no, those are two eyes. I mean, you can see them blinking, you can see them moving. I mean, huge eye shine. And at the same time, the homeowner there, Blue, who's the guy who caught the most dynamic dogman footage, I believe, that's been found, other than that little one of something digging a grave recently. He constantly sees stuff over there. He's seen Bigfoots, he's seen a couple of more dog men. He's that's kind of translucent or transparent that blends in with the trees. That whole area, which is pretty much a project that he lives in, those people don't really mess around at night outside because there's too much wild stuff going on over there. When the sun goes down, they go inside.
Well, so I'm curious about this light, though. So why do they call it the Hank?
You know, I think that's just the name they gave it. In Mississippi, they call it the Hank. down here it's just called the lights in the woods, and you know not to follow the lights in the woods. I remember my grandparents on my dad's side of the family talking about that in Mississippi, and how if you see the light in the woods, don't follow the light in the woods because you'll never come back. And they just called it the light in the woods. I can find out why it's called the Hank, but it's one of the listeners from the South probably know why.
Probably named it that, yeah. Yeah, I got a question in the chat room here from the Night Stalker. He's asking, he asks, what did you ask, Night Stalker? Oh, any similarities in these hotspot locations, like similar geography or surrounding stuff? Now, Night Stalker has a theory that a lot of this paranormal activity happens around rivers and water, bodies of water. He has a big theory about that.
Yeah, he's dead on about that. All of these locations are within, I would say, 3 to 5 miles of waterways. They're all within 3 to 5 miles of waterways. So, yeah, he's dead on with that. And it doesn't have to be rivers. It's typically bodies of water. Sometimes flowing waters are just bodies of water like lakes. So he's dead on with that. Now, why that is, you know, I don't have all the answers, but what I will say is bodies of water tend to be gathering locations for prey, whether it be deer trying to get a drink or, and I believe that's why, you know, you see a lot of those activities around those watering holes, because they know that's where their prey will eventually come. They got to come get something to drink. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of a obvious type thing too. But I think he has some other kind of like metaphysical theory, but, you know, I haven't talked to you in a while too, either about since a lot of this COVID stuff that's been happening. We talk about the energies and a lot of things that have been going down, but it seems like things, every time I talk to you on the phone this weekend too, it seems like things just seem to be getting crazier and crazier, don't it? At least down south. I hear news, especially like Florida. I don't know why that place is so crazy, but there is always some crazy stuff going down, man, whether it's a paranormal experience or genetically modified, whatever, mosquitoes or people eating somebody's face. There's never anything normal that comes out of the Gulf. I think it's the Gulf, man. That's what I think.
Well, you know, you got a couple of things going on. You got people who are who have been locked down unjustifiably at this point in time. It's known there was no reason for all that foolishness, and they've lost their minds. You've got those same people who are drug addicts who just were locked in the house using drugs. And then you have the energy shift, which I like to portray as, or explain as, the forces getting out of balance. You know, there's been a heavy shift towards the dark side, and you can see it, you can feel it, you can taste it, you can smell it, you can see the way people are behaving. And so now things are shifting, and you're seeing in the paranormal realm all kind of hell breaking loose. Think about it. 5 years ago, you weren't getting the type of footage of cryptid activity as you're getting today. Now getting UFO videos and cryptid videos is, you know, people are just brushing it off at this point in time. Before, it was like, oh my God, we got a video of Dog Man. Oh my God, we got a video of a flying pyramid UFO. You know, just like you were talking about, I think it was, yeah, you were talking about the crab shaped humanoid. Yeah. I mean, those things are happening all over the world right now. And people are seeing things all over the world that they had not been seeing 2.5-3 years ago. So something's definitely out of whack. I used to worry about it when we first talked about it. I was worried. Now I'm kind of, I understand what's going on, and I'm come to terms with it. And there's really not much you could do about it. It's going to be what it's going to be. And some things have got to come to pass, in my opinion, because people are asleep and they need to wake up. The beautiful thing about it all is we're in a great position, because as people wake up to the reality of the world that they live in and realize that the things that they forgot about, the things that used to go bump in the night, that their grandparents used to warn them about, are still real, and they are forced to get outside of, you know, the technology, you know, the cell phone, staring at the damn cell phone all day, they're going to be forced to confront things that they needed to confront a long time ago. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for society. It's a good thing for people to wake up and break the spell that they're in. Unfortunately, some traumatic things are going to happen for them to break that spell. And that's what we're seeing happening right now.
Yeah, well, that's totally true. I'm with you on the mind thing and having to deal with stuff. I think we're all going through that too. We got to take our first break here. It's really cool. We'll probably get into some stories and see what Dark Waters has been up to lately, as well as stories are concerned or anything that he's heard. And make sure you go check out dogmancams.com, because we're going to be supporting Dogman Cams here at the Fringe FM. You guys join the chat room. Calling numbers 1-800-588-0335. We'll open the phone lines up here in a minute. Big shout out to Mellow Madness Tattoo and my brother Chuck Deluxe in the chat. We'll see you guys when we come back right after this. Welcome back to Lighting the Void. Dark Waters is here with us. We're talking about the new project, dogmancams.com. You can sign up right now, $6 a month, and get access to live Dogman Cams that they're putting all across the country. And it's just going to get bigger. I think this is going to get bigger and bigger. Just like, this is why I'm good friends with Dark Waters, because it's what's the word? You're very ingenuitous. How about that? Is that a word? That's not even a real word.
I don't think that's a word.
I don't think it's a word. I probably lost in Scrabble there, but I think when you told me about it, I just thought it was a big deal, right? Because come on, man, like, we got people doing all kinds of stuff that's normal, membership stuff. They even have paranormal dating sites, which is kind of corny if you ask me. But what you're doing, I think, is what the community really wants, because we're all just a bunch of truth seekers, man. That's what we're here to find out.
Well, honestly, I just got tired of hearing the flim-flam about where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And I figured the reason why you don't have it is because nobody actually went about really trying to get it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's investigators who are very brave people who go in the woods at night. They knock on trees. They have infrared cameras. But you're only going to be in that area for a fixed amount of time. And so there's no surveillance in the areas. And so you have to put yourself in the best situation to capture the evidence. So my friend Kevin Trong, genius programmer, like, for phase two of the rollout, Kevin is already programming drones that we can take to Taylor, Mississippi. The drone will launch from a person's house, fly over with night vision and infrared, fly over the area. When a battery gets down to 20%, it's going to return, charge, and then as soon as it gets back to 100%, it's going to take off again. It's going to fly, and it's going to survey a grid to where we can capture the evidence. And once we've done those test runs of that drone and we have that footage, then we can deploy that anywhere as long as we have a solar power charging station, right? So now you're actually going about trying to gather the evidence. And it's unmanned gathering of evidence. It's not like someone has to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning controlling a drone. What's going on, brother? How you doing? So you're actually able to capture evidence anywhere. You don't have to be there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's setting it up to where that footage will be. We can tap into the cloud and get the footage. We have all this technology at our disposal. We just don't, in a paranormal field, we're not really using it accurately. We have the equivalent, not exactly the equivalent of military technology, but we got dumbed down military tech that we can use. We're just not using it the right way. And so that's phase two of the rollout. Once we get all the rest of the cameras rolled out and all the kinks worked out, we'll be moving to phase two. And I figure from that point in time, I mean, if there's something in the area and you have, it normally takes about 2.5 or 3 hours for the battery to charge to full. I mean, that means if you're going out every 3 hours and doing runs all day and all night, you're going to capture something. You know what I'm saying? You're definitely going to capture something. So it's just a matter of using the technology and then having the networks of people that can program stuff to do it. So I'm excited about the project. It's growing at the pace that I want it to grow. It's not growing too fast because it allows us to work through the tech issues and build our core audience, our core supporters, which we have right about 200 people who are core supporters that are like, look, I don't care what happened. I'm riding with y'all because I know you guys are going to get the evidence and already seen it. The only problem we run into is the people who want instant gratification. So there's some people who join is like, I haven't seen anything in 2 days. Like, okay, great. You know, keep watching. You know, there've been people who've been watching for 5 months, you know what I'm saying? And they watch nightly every night and they capture evidence. So, but that's a matter of managing expectations. And then also it is a part of it is this, this plethora of kind of Bigfoot, Dogman, cryptid stories out there. It gives people the impression that these creatures are around every corner, around every bend, and they're not. You know, I've said this for a very long time. 90% of the stuff that people are hearing on YouTube is fake. It's just there for monetization. But it gives the wrong impressions to the audience, and they believe that, oh, I could just walk out into the woods and I'm going to bump into a dog, man. That's not how it works. First of all, you got to be in the area. You got to know what area to target and locate. And then there's seasonal considerations where if you're in the wrong season, you're not going to see anything. Then you need to know the signs. You need to understand, you know, when there are deer in the area. If there's too many deer in the area, you might be just mixing in with their herd of food supply. It's a lot of stuff that people need to understand when it comes to cryptids that they don't, you know, because the real information doesn't really get out there. So that's one of the things we're going to be addressing as well. And we've been slowly addressing that. So, I think it's going to be wildly successful when it's all said and done and it's all worked out. Wildly successful.
Yeah, it's the right approach to this whole thing too. You know, I wish there was a way I could do something like that with out of body experiences and stuff like that. But, you know, it's cool that there is a practical approach to get involved and get a community around this stuff and memberships when it comes to Dogman stuff. And look, you know, I've always been skeptical of cryptids, right? Like, you're the only person besides Linda Godfrey that really convinces me that this stuff is real. And the vetting process that you have with the stories that you tell, I personally, you know, haven't had any experiences with this stuff, but you know, maybe you can explain that a little bit more because people like me and others, they say, well, I've never seen a dog, man. I've been in the woods my whole life. I've never seen a dog, man. And I know you have to explain this all the time, probably, but it's more than just that, right? Is there like a process before they show up, or is there certain signs that happen before they come about? They don't just automatically show up most of the time, especially if you're hunting them, do they?
No. The first thing you need to do is be in a geographical location where they're known to be. And pretty much along the path of their migration patterns. And if you're in that path at the right season, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to encounter something or experience something. If you're not, then the chances are very slim that you won't see anything. But if you do want to see video of Dogman, you can go to my YouTube channel and look up Elusive Dogman Caught on Tape Fort Pierce footage. And you'll see a dog man run across a yard right underneath the light pole. Light pole is about, I'd say, 13 feet in the air. The light, it's about 11 feet tall. You'll see it run right across the screen. Rewind it back and forth all you want, and you will see the dog man. So for those people who say, well, I don't believe it's true, I can't go down that road with you because now we got definitive evidence that is there. And then all the eyewitness encounters from people that I've talked to, the most significant encounters are the people who don't want their story told. And that's one of the things that's a linchpin for me when it comes to, you know, people telling the truth versus people lying. The people who just want to get answers, they don't really care about, you know, getting the truth out to people. They don't care if you believe them or not. And the reason is because it's affecting them, their livestock, and their family. So they don't really care about doing an interview. They're like, yo, I know you know what's up. I know you know what's going on. How do I get rid of this? And then we go through a process of figuring out what's luring it in and either removing it or putting some things out that'll keep them away. and they get a little bit of a reprieve. As long as they don't do anything too stupid, normally they're coming and going. It's not like they're just sticking around. As long as you don't do anything to assault them. There was one guy in Mississippi, Bloody Mary, the voodoo queen, one of the voodoo queens down here called me. She's like, James, I want you to talk to this guy in Mississippi. He's having some very bad Rougarou activity. And I was like, okay, we talking about Rougarou or we talking about Dogman? Because Rougarou is technically a werewolf and Dogman is, you know, Dogman. And she's like, well, I call it the Rougarou and it's been scratching his house and blah, 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 blah. She's like, I want us to go up there. I said, first of all, we're not going nowhere. I said, because how we know this dude not lying and he not crazy? Get him to send some pictures. Let's take a look at some of the stuff. So, and let me call him. So she calls the guy and he doesn't want to talk to me. I said, okay, cool. That's a good sign that he doesn't want to just talk to anybody. I said, that's cool. Tell him, send you pictures. So she gets some pictures and you see these claw marks on the side of this man's house and you know that's Dogman, right? And so I said, okay, let's just walk through some of the questions I want you to ask him. And then eventually he and I talk. So we go through the questions. Question number one, how long has it been going on? Question number two, who saw it first? Question number three, whose window is right there where it was scratching? Question number four, has anybody done anything to assault it? And when we got to question number three, whose window it was his teenage daughter's window. And so I told her, I said, look, you're going to have to put me on phone on three-way on the phone with this guy so I can tell him some things that nobody else will ever tell him. And he's like, she was like, okay. So we get the guy on the phone and he's real standoffish. I'm like, listen, my name is James Williams. I go by Dog Waters. This is what I do. Blah, 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 blah. You can look me up, look on your phone. You'll see where I've been at Comic Cons. I've done this. I've done that. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, okay. Well, what do you want to know? I said, this is going to sound like it's crazy. And I said, it's going to sound perverted. I said, but has your daughter started menstruating yet? And he was like, I'm not sure. I said, well, you need to talk to your wife. So he talked to his wife. She says, yes. I said, okay. I said, now we know why it's going to that bedroom window. I said, did this happen during her cycle? Turns out it was happening during her menstruation cycle, which at that age, the pheromones that those young ladies put out are extremely powerful because they're young and their body's fresh. And, you know, and I was like, look, unfortunately you got a couple of things you're going to need to do. I said, you're going to need to move her room to the other side of the house. I said, then from there, I said, if it comes back and I say, and it tries to attack the house, then you're going to have to shoot. I said, because this is not normal behavior. I said, it's very, very aggressive. I said, normally they'll peek in the window, look to see what's going on. I said, but when they start scratching houses, going under houses, going on roofs, then we got a problem on our hands. And I said, I'll send some people out there if you want, because I know some people that take care of you. So I don't want anybody on my property. I said, okay. So I tell him about a solution he can spray around the house, and he sprays the house and sprays around the house. And he didn't have any more activity till it started raining. The day after it rained, he had more activity. Sprayed again. Didn't have any more activity. So now he's going through this regimen where he's spraying around his property. But the problem is the stuff that he's spraying is pretty nasty smelling. It's not really good for the soil, but it's keeping it away. So what he's done is he's made a perimeter out into the woods around his property as opposed to right around his house, like outside the house. And it's been helping him. So there's a lot of little things that you need to know about real Dogman activity. If you understand those things, then not only can you find them, but you can keep them away. But if for some reason the individual decides they're going to shoot or like assault the dog man, you got a problem. And there's not anything anybody could do for you because now you've started something that you're not equipped to handle. You know what I'm saying? You're just not equipped to handle the kind of drama that's going to come your way.
They don't go down and easy? Is that what you're saying?
Not only do they not go down easy, but they have a way of, they hold grudges. You know what I'm saying? Like grudges that are like just ridiculous. There's one guy in West Texas. Dogman came across his property and he shot at it with a shotgun. I'm not sure if he hit it. He says he thought he hit it and he says he thought it was a wolf. And I told him, I said, man, you know, there's, you will know the difference between a wolf and a dog man and a coyote and a dog man. I said, it's way bigger when it's on all fours. He said, I thought it was a big wolf. Well, shot it with the shotgun or shot at it with the shotgun. The next night, two more came. And they were just outside his house in his backyard, just sitting there staring at his bedroom window where he was. And he was looking out the window. They're staring at him. They leave for about a week. They come back and now they have like seven coyotes with them. So it's seven coyotes and then two dog men. Over that next week, he kills a couple of the coyotes that hang around and straggle around and buries the coyotes. They dig the bodies of the coyotes back up, drag them off. And he's just been plagued with this activity off and on during various seasons because he just didn't let them migrate and go on about their business. You made them make a pit stop at your house. And so now they know where you are. You know what I'm saying? They know your scent. They know your family scent. And then you killed some of their friends. So it's one of those things to where I don't think he's ever going to be rid of the problem. Contrast that to my friend Connor, who's in Virginia. That's the guy who went and climbed down a cliff and up the cliff and put it in a tree. Well, Connor's had activity for 5 years, off and on. The difference is Connor doesn't shoot at him. Now, he has little small traps and trip lines and stuff set around his house, around his perimeter of his house, to let him know when they're there. But he doesn't shoot at him. He doesn't harm him. He just makes a point of going about his business. So if he comes home at 11 o'clock at night and he knows that, okay, I pull my truck up to my back porch to where when I open the door, I'm stepping out of my truck onto the porch and going straight into the house. But he doesn't do anything to aggravate, harm, or hurt or harass them. And for the most part, he doesn't have a problem. Now, they'll act a fool in the woods. You know, he'll see them standing in a tree line watching him. But they really don't bother him. Even his dog, Jackson, his dog was, I don't know if I told you the story last time we talked.
Oh.
But this was about 6 months ago. It's a good story to tell people. 6 to 8 months ago. He left for work and stopped at a, he picked up one of his friends on the way to work, stopped at one of the convenience stores, right? And the clerk at the convenience store says, hey, buddy, you know, the sheriff and the game wardens are up on your property. You might need to go over there. It looks like one of the truckers hit a bear on the road and they went and tracked it back to your property. So he leaves. Goes back home. When he gets back on his property, he has three game wardens on his property, like on the front side of his property, two on the wood lines, like on the edge of the wood lines. And there was a one that was further in the woods that he didn't find out about until later. Well, when he gets to the property, he pulls up, he notices his German Shepherd, Jackson, is laying in the middle of the yard dead, like just laying there. So he goes up to his dog, you know, touches his dog, checks his dog, because he knows there's a lot of dog man activity. So he's looking for, like, the dog being scratched and maimed and marked or whatever. But there's nothing on the dog. I mean, there's no bruises or lacerations, but the dog's fur is covered in blood. And so he's trying to figure out what the hell happened to his dog, picks his dog up, carries him over to the bed of his truck. And so now he's talking to the game wardens. He says, well, you know, what y'all doing on my property? And they're telling him, hey, man, we just wanted to make sure you were safe and make sure everything was okay. He says, no, no, no. I know what's in my woods. What y'all doing over here? And they keep on repeating to him, you know, we just want to make sure everything is okay. Everything is safe. Now, imagine me and you holding a conversation, but the whole time you're talking to me, you staring at the wood lines. You talking, but you're not talking to me. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, you look afraid and you look scared, but he knows what's there. So he says, listen, man, talk to me. I know what's in these woods and in these hollows. Talk to me. Tell me what's going on so I know what I got to do. They don't want to talk to him, so he curses them out. The five that he can see, he says, all y'all get the hell off my property right now. I'm going to get my gun. So they leave. There was one that was still in the woods. So now he's taking his dog to the backside of the property. You know, this dog is his best friend, the only freaking friend he has at this point in time. And so now he's starting the process of mourning for his dog when another game warden comes out of the woods. And by now he has his AR pistol. He's like, what the hell are you doing in my woods? He confronts the guy and the guy says, look, a truck driver hit a bear and there's a wounded bear on your property. He says, ain't no damn bears over here. He said, I know what y'all hit and I know what it is. Where is it? The guy doesn't want to tell him anything. Guy gets in his truck and goes about his business. So over the next couple of days, he buries Jackson and then he loses it. He loses it. He goes out into the woods at night with a flashlight, his AR-15, his sidearm, and he just goes out into the woods. I mean, and literally, where they are, and he sits there and turns the light off because he's like, you know, I figure these things did this to my dog. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm going to kill him. So he sits in the woods, and he hears them come out, and they circle him, and they surround him, and they stalk around him, but they never do anything. And so he starts talking to them. Why y'all kill my dog? What the hell wrong with y'all? Why y'all kill my dog? As he talks, they back off and go about their business. So he says, well, I figure I had a gun, and they know what a gun is. So he goes back out into the woods with a flash, with his headlamp, not a flashlight, a headlamp, and a machete. Turns the lamp off, sits out there again. They circle him, never do him anything. And this happens off and on. I think he did it like four times. They never bother him, but they circle him and made it known, growling, making noises, made it known that they were there, but it never bothered him. He went back and let the whole situation go. He's like, well, you know, if they wanted to attack me, they would attack me. They didn't do anything. And the whole time on his property, they've watched him, done little stupid stuff, bang on his car, harassed him, but they never attacked him, right? Well, his dog is dead and buried. He goes through his mourning process, gets another pup, and so now he's moved on with life. But we came to a conclusion from his experience. I believe, as of right now, based on everything I know, that these animals are smart enough to sense fear and smell fear, and they know when someone's afraid, and they know that they can seize on that fear. But once that fear is gone and that human being, because we are alpha predators, I don't care what anybody says, dog man may be as big as he is and as strong as he is. I mean, we survived for a reason, you know what I'm saying, based on everything that's going on. I think they know, okay, a pissed off human being is something that we don't want to really be bothered with, especially one that knows we're here, that knows what we're capable of, and is willing to fight. They don't want to take that risk. So
they hold a grudge. Well, then that must mean if they hold a grudge, maybe because they're territorial, but also intelligent enough to know how to choose their battles, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I don't think they're the reason why his dog died either, because his dog, Jackson, I think that dog had an understanding with him, because there were times where Jackson would leave out of the house in the mornings and run off into the woods and play in the woods for hours and then come back. And then there were other times where the dog wouldn't leave the back porch and would stay on the porch. Like, would go down to the edge of the porch, use the bathroom, and come back in the house. So I don't think they were what happened to the dog. I think something else happened to his dog. Because if those animals were to assault that dog, something would have been wrong with it. It would have had some kind of laceration. The neck wasn't broken. No bones broken, nothing. Dog was just dead. Unless it scared the dog to death. You know what I'm saying? Dog was just dead. But it was covered in blood, which to me signified that it had to be near the one that got hit by the truck. It had to come in contact with it, whether it was licking on it, touching on it. You know, maybe they were friends. I don't know. I can't tell you all that because I wasn't there and nobody else was there. But I know for a fact they didn't kill that dog because there were no lacerations and no broken bones at all. So
that's a pretty trippy story.
When we start talking about the subject, huh?
That's a pretty trippy story. That's life changing stuff. You know, it'd be hard to tell that story to anybody too. That if it happened to my dog, or just honestly, brother, just coming in contact with any of this stuff would be hard for me to tell the story, even that people talk about it. Honestly, I don't know why. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time with this whole cryptid thing. Because I know it's real. I saw stuff when I was a kid, right? I got a friend that doesn't tell me I mean, he's never lied to me, and he never tells me any paranormal stories ever, but did tell me he saw the face of a dog staring in the window with like shining eyes. It just seems like, I wonder if it's a consciousness thing. Like maybe that's why some people experience them and some people don't, or is it just totally random? I bet you hate when people say that stuff too, right? Like it's a metaphorical thing or something like that. Because to you, this is absolutely real because of as many people as you've talked to about it, I can imagine. So I'm not trying to frustrate you here.
No, you wouldn't frustrate me at all because there's, put it to you like this, there's various types of encounters. So what we're talking about with Connor and his dog is a flesh and blood dog man animal encounter. We know it's true. There's no doubt about it. I've been talking to this man for over 5 years. He's never lied to me about anything. We know some of the same people out of some of the same circles. He ain't the lying type, right? But there are people who have demonic dog man encounters. And what I mean by that, there was a young lady who called me out of the Bronx where she swears on her Bible that she woke up in the middle of the night and there was a werewolf in her bedroom standing in a corner that looked like the freaking thing off Dog Soldiers. She said she could smell it. She could hear it breathing. She saw its eyes looking at her, but the eyes were red. And when she started praying, it disappeared, right? Now, what would cause a person to experience something like that? So I started digging into her psyche. And I said, okay, how much do you know about Dogman? And she's like, well, you know, I watch a lot of videos and I listen to a lot of interviews. I'm like, okay, so you're open to the concept of werewolves, right? And so I said, now let's talk about your spiritual practices. You know, what's your religion? What do you practice? And she's like, well, you know, I worship the earth and I worship nature and blah, 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 blah. And to me, that's the sign that somebody may dabble in some magic or dabblers say stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like true magicians, they can articulate their belief, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But dabblers say kind of weak stuff like that. So my brain says, okay, she's dabbling. So I say, okay, well, tell me what you've been messing with lately. She goes into tarot cards and how she just started and Ouija boards and all this other stuff. And I'm like, so you're not a real practitioner. And I told her, I said, no offense, you're not a real practitioner. You're a novice. And she says, well, I guess you can say that. And I just tell her, I said, look, here's what happened. I said, you contacted something that when it decided to manifest, it tapped into what your greatest fear is, which is clearly these werewolves, because you or whatever your desire is, and it showed itself to you in that form in your bedroom. And she's like, but it smelled musty and you can smell. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, because these entities have powers to do things like that. I said, so you experienced something that was real, but it wasn't real in the sense of in the woods running around chasing down deer and breaking deer's necks. I said, you experienced something that was real on a spiritual plane. So to answer your question, there is more than one dynamic associated with the Dogman phenomenon. And that's why for the longest time I told people, hey, man, don't listen to my stories when you go to bed at night, because I'm telling you true stories and you will attract some of these things. And they're not really nice things. When you listen to this stuff and you sleep, when you're in a state where your defenses are down. And so I can totally agree with you. I can totally see where you're coming from with that. And there is a point to be made with that. You know what I'm saying? Like most people who talk about Dogman are like, oh, it's a physical being that's in the woods, and or it's a human being that turns into a wolf. You know what I'm saying? But they don't talk to the witnesses, or they haven't talked to as many witnesses as I have to kind of collect all the data points to know that there's truth. There's a little bit of truth into all of that. You know what I'm saying? The one thing that I can honestly say that I haven't spoken to anybody about that I believe is a man physically transforming into a wolf. Like, you know, like Underworld, you know, the nose freaking yeah. spouting out and ears. I've had people call and tell me that, but the more you question them and you really chunk down, because those kind of people, I go back to their childhood. Like, you know, tell me about your first paranormal experience when you were a kid. And then I'll go into, tell me about your family upbringing. Was your mom and dad in the house together? Was when you start really digging into their psychic and their psyche, not psychic, psyche, and the way they were brought up, you realize that they're true codependents. And true codependents, meaning a lot of us are that way. I mean, at some point in time, there was a break in our family line where the mother and father wasn't right, or mom was on drugs, or dad. You know, we just have something that makes our personality codependent on other people. You get into those codependent personalities, and those people, they make up stuff because they want attention. And that's like a secret I just gave out. I probably shouldn't have never gave out. But anyway, they make up things,
and we like
they
secrets.
Want your attention.
That's good, though. Yeah. Hey, we got to take a top of the hour break here, man. I blew right by it. Then I got to take this one. So you hold tight here, Dark Waters. And I'll get to your phone calls, too. I had to switch some stuff up on the phone lines tonight. So you guys stay patient with me on this thing here. We'll be right back. More Lighting the Void coming up right here with Dark Waters. Stay with us. Second hour with Dark Waters. Make sure you go to dogmancams.com. That's what we're here to talk about tonight. Also, the Dogman story here with Dark Waters. You can go to his personal website at I Am Dark Waters and check out all of the stuff there. As usual, you can sign up to be a member of his website too. And I mean, if you really just want to get into some stories, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, brother, like, there's nobody that I would rather listen to tell stories about Dogman and cryptids and stuff than you. Like, you got it down, man. I'll give you that. I'm sure you hear it all the time, but it's true.
Nah, I appreciate it. I just pride myself on my stories aren't about the cryptids. It's about the people who encountered the cryptids. And the cryptids really are the backdrop of the story. Because essentially, when you talk to a witness, it's really about that person and what their experience. That's where a lot of people go wrong when they share stories in general. They'll say, I'll tell you a vampire story. And they think the story is really about the vampire. No, it's about that human being. Because you and I can't relate to an energy-sucking vampire or a 12-foot-tall Bigfoot. We can only relate to what that other human being is experiencing. And so what I pride myself on is allowing you to experience exactly what they experienced. And that way you are in the moment with them as they go through it. And the way I do that is I force that person to relive it and share that story with me. Like at this Paracon that I just went to, NOLA Paracon, I was with Nick Groff from Ghost Adventures. And so we're sitting around a room probably... I don't know, probably 20 something people. And, we're sharing stories, and Nick went into his story about, before he went on the Ghost Adventures and before he became famous, he was like, yo, you know, I used to love the ghost hunt, you know, and I would go to various locations way before I ever had sold my show to Travel Channel. And him and one of his childhood best friends are riding down this dark 2-lane highway. These teenagers come flying by them in a drop top car, music blasting, you know, doing what teenagers do. Two girls, two boys, they cut back over in front of them, speed off. And next thing you know, their car is wobbling. It flips over and starts tumbling down the highway. And so you can see Nick as he's telling the story, he's reliving. I'm looking at his eyes. His eyes are starting to water up and gloss over. And he was like, you know, man, we pull up to the accident, and there's one guy laid out on the road. He's bleeding. We hop out, and we start trying to resuscitate him and give him CPR. One girl crawls out of the car and sits on the side of the roadway. Another car pulls up, and it's a doctor. The doctor surveys the scene, looks at the guy they were working on, and I guess, you know, he says he guessed the doctor came to the conclusion that that guy was going to die. So he goes over to start helping the girl. And they're sitting there doing chest compressions on this young man as he's dying, trying to keep him alive, talking to him, when just from out of the darkness on the side of the road steps this shadow, just this black shadow man, just walks up right next to Nick, looks down at the body, looks around, and then backs back up into the darkness. And that whole story led to this conversation about, you know, what happens when people die, astral projection, leaving the body, near-death experiences.
Yeah.
Because what he believed was that was that young man taking one final look at himself before he died, because moments later he died and all his blood came gushing out the back of his neck and filled the roadway. Right. And so the stories are, even though that story I just told you is about essentially about this shadow coming out of the darkness, really that story was about the people and the circumstances that surrounded what led to that paranormal encounter. And what I found with storytelling and actually listening to witnesses, if you really care about the witness, you're going to get the story right. You know what I'm saying? That's why I only tell certain people stories, because if I don't trust you and don't believe you, the story will sound garbage because I don't believe what you're saying. But if I can relate to you as a witness, I can understand you, I can feel your pain, then I can relate that pain accurately. I can relate that fear, that angst, that anxiety as accurately as possible, so everyone else can experience it and feel it. And so the number one compliment I get from people is like, man, when you tell a story, I'm right there. That's because I tried to capture the essence of what that person went through, and tell it, the essence of what it did to that person. Then I tell the conclusion to it, what happened to the person afterwards. Because a lot of stories you hear, and, you know, witnesses will talk and they'll do interviews and they'll talk about they saw a dog man and blah, 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 they saw Bigfoot. But they don't tell you about what happened afterwards. So for example, in Taylor, Mississippi, where the Dog Man Cams project is set up, the guy whose property that this camera is on the backside of, he had a dog. His dog name is Bear, right? That dog had a relationship with everything that was in those woods, the Bigfoots, the dog men, even the skinny kind of crazy thing that was, I don't know, like a dilapidated dog man that was standing up on two legs. The dog had a relationship with each and every cryptid in that area. So the homeowner would see the Bigfoots literally reach out from behind a tree and pet the dog. Or if the dog got too close to him, you would see it kind of reach his foot from behind a tree and just nudge the dog away. Not hurt it, just like push it away, like, get away, I'm trying to hide, right?
Right, yeah.
The one thing that the dog had a contentious relationship with was this skinny, like, the best way to describe it is like a Doberman pincher with no hair, with sharp pointy ears that would stand up. I mean, it was frightening, with long claws. The dog would automatically just growl and bark at that thing. Well, that dog passed away of natural causes. Listen to this. The guy takes his dog out into the woods, buries his dog, lays next to the grave. And as he's laying there next to the grave with a dog, he starts to hear this whooping, like Bigfoot's whooping in the distance, like whoop, 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 from all directions around him in the distance. Then when he's on his way back to the house, because you got to walk way through the woods to get back to his house, he starts hearing howling, which is the dogman howling. Like just howling everywhere, right?
Right. Yeah.
Never once felt threatened. Never once had an issue. He goes back to the grave a couple of days later, and their rocks are organized in a circle around the grave. He didn't put the rocks there. They did. And you can find the tracks where they walked around and they placed the rocks around the grave. So all these animals are intelligent. And I think the most significant thing that you can take from that is that you'll hear stories where they're frightening and scary and, you know, they terrify people. But at the same time, clearly there's some sense of understanding of empathy that they have as well. You know what I'm saying? So they're dynamic creatures. They're not just killing machines that's running around just ravaging and doing crazy stuff. They're dynamic, intelligent beings.
So
the ability to think and reason.
What's the theory of the dog man? Its origin? Is it a mutated being? Is it an evolved being? Is it something that's been around for a long time? I mean, I've never really, I guess, I don't think I've ever asked this question to you or Linda Godfrey or anybody. I wonder what the origin story of the Dog Man is.
Well, there are a bunch of theories behind where they come from. There's one theory where it's a hybrid between a baboon and a dog. There's that was genetically modified out of Florida. That the reason why we have them here is because they were released in a lab during one of those hurricanes that literally wiped out Florida. And then there's the ancient beliefs that this goes back to the Bible, all the way back to the genetic modification and manipulation that was in the Bible when the angels fell to earth and they corrupted everything, every human being and every animal. I personally lean towards the biblical perspective because when you go back to those days, through my Bible, I can find stories of minotaurs, I can find stories of giants, I can find everything there. And then when you go into the Gnostic books of the Bible, you find every other freaking creature there, from Leviathan to freaking giant insects. You find everything there. So I personally believe, and I'm not giving a definitive answer because I don't think anybody has a definitive answer outside of the federal government. If we can grab one of those guys, strap him to a chair, and then electrocute the hell out of him, we can find 100% truth. I believe it all goes back to whether you want to call it fallen angels, aliens, or whether you want to call them actual angels. I believe it all goes back to the fall and the genetic manipulation of what happened on this planet years ago, millions of years ago. And I think that's where it all stemmed from.
Well, that would certainly make rational scientific sense. I would think, you know, I personally believe that we were seeded. I mean, humans were seeded too, but in the creation story, I don't know, but there is a lot of theories, but that's pretty cool that story, because I've never heard that before. And you know, the type of people that contact you about Dog Man, is there a particular type profile, or is it just all types of people?
No, it's all types of people. It's all types of people that contact me, from your hillbillies to regular farmers, to truck drivers, to people, fishermen and hunters, to people that's like, that live in the projects, which are on the outskirts of, you know, wildlife refuges. I mean, there's no particular profile of any individual type that encounters these creatures, which makes sense because I've told people for a long time they have a migratory pattern. And so they migrate along waterways and use those waterways to get where they want to get to. So it makes sense that it wouldn't be any specific profile of a person that encounters these creatures. Now, I'll tell you some of the things, excuse me, that my friends on the border have shared with me that were very, very significant. Down in South America, or below the border, Mexico, whatever you want to call it, there's certain deer. Like, I don't know if it's called it's red fur deer. It's not red tail deers, but these red deers, they have this red fur. Well, they were finding herds of those deer across our border into South Texas and Arizona. They were finding these deers. But what they discovered were that the dog men were literally herding these deer into our country and using them as a food source. I mean, imagine going out on your back porch to smoke a cigarette and you literally see 20 freaking deer with red fur that you know aren't indigenous to your area, just running across the backside of your property. I mean, stampeding across the backside of your property. Mm. And then a few seconds later, two gigantic wolves running on all fours, chasing them, herding them. And I tell people all the time, one of the signs, I tell witnesses, not people, I tell witnesses all the time, one of the signs that you know you're in a migration pattern area where these creatures are, is you will have an overabundance of deer. Like, it'll be like, man, you know, I have so many deer on my property, I can open up the window and shoot one out the back window, right?
Right, yeah.
And then there's times where there's absolutely nothing there. No deer, no squirrels, no nothing. And it's not because the predator is a lot of people make you believe it's because the predator's in that area at that moment. No, they've moved through that area and flushed everything out. And one of the myths when it comes to dog man is, oh, I was on my property. There was nothing on my property. No deer, no nothing, no blah, 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 blah. And they think that's a sign that dog man is there. No, that means they've already moved through. It's when you have the abundance of food in that area is when they're in that area. And that's one of the few secrets that I don't really, that's one of the things I use with my witnesses to find out if they're telling the truth or not, because they're all under, they listen to these interviews and I can tell when they're repeating talking points from an interview because they're just repeating what they've been told, but they don't know the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, just to be perfectly honest with you, I've always stayed pretty new and neutral to this stuff too. And most of the information I've gotten about dog man is from you or Linda or books or your stories. So I still wonder about the basic facts too. Like, when was the first dog man sighting? I don't know that, like when they, you know, first started really being reported, but I guess what would be more important to ask would be, do you think there's an influx of reports? I mean, do you see more dog men reports, or is the herd thinning out? Is it staying the same, or what?
I've been getting more demonic activity reports than anything. Really? I like, again, something's different is going. Yeah, something has changed. Like, as far as like cryptids are concerned, for some reason they're showing themselves. And so you get a lot more video footage, but the demonic activity is the one thing that's been on the increase in my phone calls, whether it be people using spells and other people giving them cancer, and then they having smelling sulfur and seeing black shadows in their house, or whether it's people encountering black eye kids and red eye kids and people with white eyes and all kind of crazy stuff. That's what, when I, like, my phone is off right now, my dog water cell phone, because it rings too much. Tomorrow I plan on plugging it up and I'll go through my voicemail messages, and I can guarantee you I may have 2 or 3 dog man people, maybe 4 Bigfoot people, and then everything else is going to be something demonic. I mean, that's what's on the rise right now. So to answer your question, is the activity with dog man getting more active? I think the activity is at where it's the level it's always been. I just think that other cryptids are showing themselves more and people are seeing it. But as far as the world is going right now, there's a lot of hell of a lot more demonic stuff going on in the world than is ever, since I've been in this field, I've ever heard or ever taken phone calls on. I'm getting pictures of people sending me pictures of their grandmothers who are bruised up and beat up and face all scratched up with 3 lines. And, you know, my grandmother's under attack by demons. Can you help? And I'm like, nah, that's not my cup of tea, but call this guy. He'll help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm seeing more than anything. Not avoiding your question, but I think the best way to answer your question is, I think that those creatures do what they do. They breed, they move, they go from point A to point B. If someone's lucky enough to have a camera and have the footage and be in the right area, you're going to capture evidence of them. If someone's stupid enough to assault one of them or hurt or harm one of them, they're going to have a problem on their hands. And I mean, it is what it is. But that's not the most concerning thing to me. The most concerning thing to me is the demonic activity that's going on. And it's bad. I mean, it's pretty freaking bad.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too when we come back here. Interesting comment from the chat from Hope. Hope says, some people kind of howl when they give birth, a low and guttural sound. I don't know. Think about that for a minute while we take our break. We'll be right back with Dark Waters. Go check out the new website, dogmancams.com. Sign up. More LTV coming up. All right, welcome back to Lighting the Void. We're on the alternate phone tonight, but I will open the phone lines up at 1-800-588-0335. They're open now if you want to talk to our guest, Dark Waters. Tonight we're talking about DogmanCams.com, the new project, as well as his website. You can go to IamDarkWaters.com. Tomorrow night we're going to have Tom Barnett on the program. We're going to be talking about natural law and sovereignty, and that's going to be, I want to make it out for that one, same time, 9 p.m. Pacific. And then Wednesday night, we're going to have Ellen Red on. And Thursday, we're going to have Nathan Isaac talking Strange Stories, Myths, the Paranormal, and Podcasting. If you want to join our chat, go to fringe.fm/chatroom. So we just got through talking to Dark Waters about Dogman Cams, and we've been talking a lot about Dogman. But you did say here lately that a lot of things have been demonic. And I would like you to elaborate, if you don't mind, just a little bit. Do you mean when it comes to Dogman or just all around activity lately?
No, all around activity. All around activity. So the phone calls now that I've been getting are pure demonic stuff. So let's start with New York City. So New York was one of the places that was most heavily hit by COVID-19. And I say the hospitals in New York were where more people were murdered. They didn't die of COVID. They were killed on ventilators, because you know that anybody who has common sense knows that if you have a shortage of oxygen in your blood, you don't pump air into your lungs. You just put a person on oxygen, right? They just blew people's lungs out and murdered them. Well, so many nurses out of hospitals have been reaching out and just sharing their stories. The first one that comes to mind is, I want to say it's room 307 or 407 in Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. That room had to be blessed like 6 times because of the demonic activity that was going on in that room. We're talking about, like, you put a patient in a room and you know there's the gurney bed and the person laying in the bed. And the bed rolls to the other side of the room while the nurse is the nurse walking through the door, the bed just rolls. We ain't talking about no light bed, right? Every patient that's been in that room losing their mind. One lady was in the room, got up out of the bed, stood on the edge of the, and this lady's 76 years old, climbs up to the edge of the windowsill and stands on the edge of the windowsill facing the room. And it's just, they're talking to somebody in the corner saying, I don't want to go with you. I don't want to go with you. Leave me alone. I'm staying here. I'll jump out this window before I go with you. I don't want to go with you. And they're coming in the room like, yo, what's going on with you, lady? What's going on? Well, this guy wants me to come with him, and he's got a messed up face and he's got red eyes, and I don't want to go with him. I don't want to go with him. And then two days later, they come in the room and the lady's saying, okay, I'll go with you, but let me get my makeup on and I'm going to go. And then the lady just dies. Lights flashing in rooms. That's from the hospital perspective what's going on. Then when you start going into what's just going on in the cities, we'll come to New Orleans. I have a guy, I call him my little brother. I won't use his real name. I call him by his nickname. I call him Benny. Anybody who's ever seen the movie City of God, you know, there was Little Z and there was Benny. Both of them was gangsters. Benny was like the cool gangster. And that's how my little brother Benny is. He's not blood brothers, but he's my little brother. He's a little more ambitious than I want him to be. But anyway, Benny, who's church going, but still a thug, still in the streets, but he'll go to church, calls me out the blue. And he says, Jay, he says, I was on Dowman Road, waiting on a chick, sitting in a car. He's like, I'm smoking a cigar. I'm talking on a cell phone. He's like, dog, I swear to you, something crawled out of the canal and it was crawling backwards like a human being, but like crab walking backwards. He's like, dude, this thing stood up and it had red eyes and it stood in the middle of Dowman Road. And he said, I saw this. I turned the lights on. I saw it. And then it disappeared right in front of me. And he's like, yo, what was that? And I was like, man, it's all kind of stuff crawling up from the pits of hell right now. He's like, yo, I believe you, man. because people are acting demonic. And so this is what's going on in like the underbelly of New Orleans. So that's one thing he saw. And that, when I tell you, this dude don't lie to me, but he will never, ever under any circumstances lie to me about anything, because that's how our relationship is, because it's a blood bond where it's like, yo, you know, if you need me, I'm there. And if I need you, you know what I'm saying? You coming. So he ain't gonna lie. Even if it's something bad, he might be like, yo, I did this and I'm wrong, but I need you to help me. You know what I'm saying? But just in the underbelly of New Orleans, I got another friend of mine, Wood. Wood owns a car shop on Galvez. If you look him up on Google Maps, you'll see the only car shop on Galvez right by University Medical Center. And he calls me. This is a guy I told a story about his pit bulls a long time ago. But he calls me. He literally sounds like DMX. So he's like, he calls me Black. He doesn't call me James or Dog. He's like, yo, Black, you know, this Wood, what you doing? I'm like, I'm chilling, man. What's up? He was like, I don't know what's going on out here in these streets, but they got Negroes with black eyes out here. And I'm like, what you mean with black eyes? He's like, yo, I'm telling you, son, just on a corner, he got black eyes. And I'm like, what you mean black eyes? He's like, his eyes is black like night. And I'm like, what? And this is something in the hood. You don't, like, you get black IKEA store. You don't get that stuff in those neighborhoods. I'm like, what you did? He's like, I pulled that shotgun on him. You should have saw him running. He was sliding on his face. Like, all right, bro. So
sliding on his face, man.
That
sounds, it sounds like, I don't know if you've seen that movie Constantine, where you know, kind of hell comes into the world or whatever, but that's what it sounds like. Like things are just crossing over or whatever.
What he meant was, when he pulled the shotgun on the dude started running, tripped forward, and started sliding on his face.
Yeah,
his
legs were still moving, part.
So he was sliding on his face trying to get up. But
yeah, I got that part.
That's
I'm just saying
stuff that's going on.
Right. I'm just saying, like, all the stuff that you're talking about, it just, I don't know. It seems like there's stuff crossing over or whatever, you know.
Oh, no, I guarantee you there's stuff crossing over. There's this kid that I started talking to about 3 years ago. Kid's a straight up prophet. There's no other way. The only way he knows stuff that he knows about me, God had to tell him. Because some of the things he told me, the only person that was there was me and God, right? This kid freaks me out every time I talk to him. But he will always call me. He'll always tell me stuff. And the last conversation we had, he was telling me, he said, hey, you know, this country has a choice if they want to go with the good guys or they want to go with the bad guys. He's like, if the country goes with the bad guys, it's going to go straight to hell. He's like, and there's nothing that can be done about it. God is going to judge the country, and he's going to unleash things on this planet and on this country that people are not prepared for. And I said, well, why would God do that? And he was like, because it's God's will. And I was like, well, you know, that makes sense, you know, that. If he wants to hold back the tide, he can hold it back. If he want to pass judgment, he can pass judgment. He's like, yeah, that's what he's going to do if we go in that direction. And then he tells me, specifically me, to watch out for one thing. He says, you're going to meet a woman. He's like, she's going to be gorgeous. She's going to be everything that you think you would like. But you already have a woman that's everything you like and need. When you see that woman and she approaches you, know that that's an attack. And I was like, okay.
Oh, that's kind of a setup.
Time passes.
That's hard to deal with. Dude, if it's everything you want, you know.
He warned me, dude, time passes. I go to Dallas, go to a cigar shop.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting there smoking a cigar, reading a book, and walks this 6'2", gorgeous, I mean, Kerry Washington, gorgeous broad. And that's my type. I love him just like that. I mean, gorgeous. And just starts talking to me. And I'm sitting there like, okay, this has happened before. I had women walk up and talk to me, but I'm like, all right, what's the deal? And then his little voice plays in my head. Remember, when you see this woman, it's an attack. And I said, ma'am, I said, you are absolutely amazing. You really are. You stood in line in heaven for a long time to get the eyes, the nose, the lips, the hips, the beautiful hair. I said, but you just are not the person for me. not the person for me whatsoever. And I said, I appreciate you taking time to talk to me. I appreciate you even wanting to talk to me. I'm flattered. I'm honored, but you're just not the one for me. And you should have seen how on a dime this polite attitude switched to like, well, F you, screw you, blah, blah. It just insulting me. It was so crazy, dude.
Started going off.
Everybody else in that cigar shop was like, yo, what's wrong with this broad? And it all exposed itself. That was something inside of her.
Yeah, right.
And that's
right.
How he explained it to me. It was something coming for you. And I was like, whoa. That's crazy. So I pray on it.
How long ago was that?
This was, this happened, when that happened with her, that was 2 months ago.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Cause I think that's so been happening to a lot of people. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Well, you said it's happened to a lot of people. Cause what are you going to say?
Well, I mean, like I've been in some pretty crazy arguments with, you know, a few people that are close to me that have been like the worst I've ever had. I'm talking about just some hateful stuff that's come out. And it's like, what? Even out of my mouth, dude. And it's like, this isn't me. This isn't you. This isn't like, everyone's like, well, it's just COVID or whatever. But I think there's more to it. I always think there's more to this stuff, you know.
No, there's a hell of a lot more to that. And we'll talk about the COVID stuff. But everybody in the cigar shop is like freaked out and weirded out by this chick because it was like a light switch turned on and just evil started pouring out of her mouth. And she turns around, she leaves, and I'm like, okay, that was weird and crazy. So I start praying on it. And the thing that comes to me through prayer is your life is in balance and forces want your life out of balance. And so the assault was supposed to be on your relationships in your life to take that out of balance because that's your strength right now. And if that falls, if that pillar breaks, then everything else breaks. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
So, and you know me, we know each other. I'm a relationship guy. Like my friends are my friends.
Yeah, me too.
You my friend, you could be right or wrong. You could be dirty and grimy. You my friend, I got your back. But my relationships are my strong point in my life because my integrity is, hey man, if I consider you a friend, you my friend. You ain't got to worry about me saying nothing or doing nothing. You ain't got to worry about none of that. If you're not my friend, then you got a whole nother problem. But if you're my friend, you're my friend.
Yeah, right.
And that's how it goes. And I accept you for who you are. Now to talk about COVID. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to take this caller. They've been waiting for a minute here. 740 area code.
Sorry.
You're on the air. No, you're all right. You're on the air with Dark Waters. Who are you speaking with? Ohio area.
What's up, brother? Rohan, it's not really
Ohio. It's Rohan. Yeah, I wonder why it's coming through Ohio number. That's crazy.
Unless I figured out that teleporting I'm in trying to do.
Yeah, what's up, brother? You got a question for Dark Waters?
I just want to say to start with, yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, Dark Waters, because I contacted you in New Year and told you like I'm signing up for you because I'm only supporting people that don't let me down. And they're authentic, you know what I'm saying? You're one of them guys, do you know what I mean? So, and you talked to me and stuff, and it was good, man. That was New Year's Day as well, so it's like, you know, I know you're a good guy, man. So that's cool. And but I just wondered about one of your stories, and that Thanos story really got me. And I was got wondering afterwards, are you in some of your stories, but you didn't tell us? Do you know what I'm saying? It got me wondering because I thought, I wonder if Dark Waters is Thanos, but then I thought, no, he wouldn't be that crazy to do what he did.
What story are you talking about? Since I mean, because some listeners might not know what you're talking about.
Oh, there was a particular story that came out in a little trailer, and it was about a guy called Thanos meets the Dog Man. And there's a story about this dude.
You talking about Dan? I'm sorry, I was having trouble understanding you. No, that's a real story. That wasn't me. I ain't doing that. That's my network of friends. I have some very powerful friends, some very nefarious friends, and he's a part of that network of nefarious friends. No, that's 100% true. That dude is crazy like that, bro. Like, he's really nuts. Like, he falls to the wall nuts. Yeah, something's wrong.
Man, so, that loved me in that day. That was enough for me.
So you're trying to figure out if Dark Waters was actually playing that character. Yeah, I remember the first time I heard a couple of his stories. That I thought the same thing because he just started talking as if it happened to him. And I remember the first time he came on the broadcast, I asked him too. I said, did this happen to you? Because, you know, he kind of explained, no, I'm telling the story from that person's point of view, you know. Oh, maybe that's what happened. I haven't heard this story.
No, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah, I haven't heard the story, by the way. But I am curious about this demonic activity and stuff. It's really crazy because it's kind of synchronistic in a way, because before I talked to you a week ago, I had talked to a few people about this, that there was going to be some really heavy, dark energy. And I mean, even tonight we have the full moon under Scorpio, which can get pretty crazy, but it's also transformational too. So I hope that, you know, I hate to even ask this question because I know the answer that I'm going to get, but I got to ask it anyways for you, Dark Waters. Like, there's a lot of people that have positive outlooks on what's coming in the future. There's other people that say the apocalypse is coming, stuff like that. Now, I'm just curious as to what you think is coming in the future, maybe in the next 3-4 years, based on what you're getting in these stories. Do you think it's just going to get worse, or do you think it might get better?
I think that if people pray, that God will give us a reprieve. But as of right now, you're looking at the one world government being established, mark of the beast. You already see the whole scenario. Get your COVID vaccine, get your COVID passport to travel. You already see where you can't go in stores without a mask on, which I just ignore that rule. I'm over the whole mask thing. I'm not about to not be able to breathe. You can't fly on a plane without a mask. So you're looking at one world government, the infancy stages of one world government being put in place, and fear being used to scare people to the point that, well, they'll accept it. The most disappointing thing, and you have to be grounded in reality, the most disappointing thing is that people are going into this really without a fight. Questioning. And so therefore, based on what I see, we got a horrific future in front of us. Mainly not because the people are just that evil. They are evil to do what they do. But, I mean, when you start talking about the bloodlines of those people who've been around for a long time, they've been plotting and planning this a long time. I expected them to be evil, but I expected people to be smarter. That's the most disappointing thing to me. I expected people to be smarter, and specifically, I expected Christians to have a set of kahunas, which you just don't see that. And that's the most disappointing thing to me out of all this. I don't see people of God saying, hold on, this is the mark of the beast. We're not participating in this, and saying, you're not going to do this to us. What I see is people saying, okay, you want me to sign up to go to church? Yeah, I'll sign up. Oh, I need to have a vaccine? So I think we're in for a horrific future unless God decides to intercede and change things or give us a reprieve. I think we're looking at a terrible, terrible future. And specifically, I know for a fact this is the rollout of the mark of the beast, because I have friends who are heavy in the cryptocurrency. And it's like I told you about the thing the other night.
Yeah.
That is a tracking system to track every, it has the ability to track every object, everywhere it goes, every grain of sand, every ounce of water, every electromagnetic frequency, every gas emission, everything.
Yeah. That's a whole nother show too. I could do system. Because people they're acting like cryptocurrency is a thing that can't be stopped, that it's outside the government. But let me just tell you something. First off, we don't really know the origin of Bitcoin to begin with is true. And secondly, like, there's nothing outside the government. All right. This is what happens when anytime a private thing happens, whether it's SpaceX, cryptocurrency, it doesn't matter. Once they see that it's got more power than they do, or they can't control it, they'll find a way to get involved with it. And I'm not saying that they've already done that. They've already started this. They're already starting their digital currencies and stuff. They're going to get it. And it's not like you can hide with cryptocurrency either, because you can trace down every transaction anywhere, and most of it's public. So why, I always wonder why people have been sold this thing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency like it's some rebel thing outside of government lines, because it's not. It's just more integrated. You're just integrating yourself more into the system, I think, actually. I think it's a whole nother monster.
No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. But those are people who've been sold a bill of goods, and they don't truly understand. So what we're facing right now, which is a controlled economic collapse of this country, and probably the balkanization of this country, because you already see it happening where state governments are starting to take, you know, laws into their own hand and pass, you know, gun laws to where there's, you know, gun sanctuary states. And so we're seeing a balkanization of the country. The most important thing for people is going to be able to have physical assets. So those people who had Bitcoin early, then they need to start transferring that into tangible assets, guns, ammo, food, land.
Yeah, real estate.
Silver, gold, yeah, real estate, those things. And then hold on a portion of that cryptocurrency for later on, because it's deflationary, so it's inevitable that it's going to go up. But the most frightening thing right now is you're witnessing minimum basic income being rolled out in combination with vaccine passports, which, while simultaneously, you know, the middle class was just wiped out. I mean, in the past year and a half, 2 years, I mean, murdered the middle class, right? So what we're going to see is you're going to see extremely wealthy people. I mean, uber rich people, and then extremely poor people.
Yep.
And there are going to be people on outside of cities that have their own land and their own communities that are sustainable, that don't participate in any of the other stuff. They'll be there for a while until the system gets strong enough to come out and destroy them.
Right.
But no, I think we're in for a horrific time. It's not something that you can't prepare for. It's just you have to be grounded in reality and face what's coming your way. If you ignore it for a year, you might be screwed. You know what I'm saying? You might be screwed, because the government cannot keep printing money and giving people stimulus checks over and over and over, because all they're doing is just killing the dollar.
And they forced everybody to go into their, so it's good, right? And one way it's good, because you got all these people wanting to be entrepreneurs and do their own podcasts and do their own thing, and everybody wanting to do their home businesses and stuff. Well, that's great, but it's stimulating the digital economy, right? That's all it's doing.
Exactly.
Because you're taking everything out of the regular economy, regular jobs. All this stuff is going into the digital economy, and it's just going to build up this digital thing even more. And it's, yeah, man, I can see it too. I can see how it's all going to work. And don't think for a minute that the government's not going to get, I'm not saying don't trade Bitcoin or anything like that. Matter of fact, you should probably trade it right now. And in my opinion, until they get involved with it and take some of that money that you make from it and do what Dark Waters is saying, like get some real tangible stuff going for yourself. That's the best thing you can do, I think.
No, and as a Christian, my belief is if you're going to build a system that's the mark of the beast system, I'm about to try and hijack it. So I know the beauty of it is, if you understand what a beauty for me, let me speak for me personally, not talking generalities. I believe the Bible. I believe God is real. I believe Jesus is real. I understand that all magic, all the rest of those things on the peripheral, they are real. All of it is powers that come from God in some way, shape, or form. Some of them harnessed for good, some of them for bad, right? It's all real.
Right.
That's the beauty of being in this paranormal field. You know it's all real. Okay, so if it's all real, demons are real, Bigfoots are real, dogmen are real, mermaids are real, freaking angels, aliens, it's all real. Number one, as a listener, someone listening to me, you should not be surprised when someone says, oh, the vaccine is killing people, or something's going wrong, or it's the mark of the beast. If you can believe in what's in my right hand, which are all those other things, then you got to believe what's in my left hand, which is it's all, some of this stuff is being coordinated to take down countries in the one world government. Okay, so we know all that's real, which we do. Then we know the book of Revelations is real. And it's now you have the playbook for what's coming. So you have a choice. One of my pastors that I talk to that I'm friends with, he says I have an active apocalyptic theology, meaning I know there's apocalypse coming, but I'm not going to be passive about it and sit back and say, oh, well, I'm going to lay on my sofa and then die. I think that's wrong. So my belief is, okay, if I know you're going to be building a market B system where you can track and trace and do all of this, but you can't build it without the people. You got to trick the people into building it. then guess what? I'm hijacking it. I'm buying all the miners. I'm buying everything that need to be bought. I'm going to run a section of it. I'm going to profit from it, and I'm going to take care of people with it, as opposed to you taking it, setting it up, exploiting it, and using it to violate people.
All right,
if we just take what the evil people are doing and you know their plans and hijack their plans, there's nothing they could do. They got to like make their plans known for the rest of their people to know what's going on. You read it.
Well, look, we got like 60 seconds and we got to get to we're over time actually, but I want to make sure that you tell everybody one last time about Dogman Cams. Go to dogmancams.com and just tell everybody real quick what's up with it. And then we'll keep letting everybody know after, too. I just wanted them to hear it from you.
Go to dogmancams.com. If you want to see, if you want to become a member, take a look at the cameras. If you want to listen to some of the podcasts or some of the interviews with camera witnesses, go to Dogman Cams YouTube channel. And then head over to iamdogwaters.com if you want to hear some of the realest stories that you will ever hear. From real people, and they're all 100% true.
Yeah. Thanks, man, for coming on again. I love it when you come on the late night and talk to us, brother. It's fun. It's at the very least, it's fun. It's always a good time talking to you. It's good to have you here.
Nah, you know, you're my peeps. I love you, man. I appreciate you, and I bless you, and I honor you, man. Anytime you want me back.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother. And the same to you. And we're going to get out of here. We'll be back same time tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Pacific. For another live show. Stay tuned. Ryan Gable's got some new content for you about his travels across the country. He's going to be reporting his travel log from the Secret Teachings. So stay tuned if you're listening on the Fringe FM. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Good night. Sweet dreams.